I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. My assignment this week is to put on a happy show. Very untypical of me if you know my character. You know, it's kind of funny. People think I'm so serious all the time. You know, being part Asian, Native American, and I don't know what it is. I guess I just look like a very serious person. A lot of people know how religious I am and all. You know what? If you really know me, you know there's nothing further from the truth. I'm probably one of the most sarcastic human beings you will ever meet on the planet. But if you're into sarcasm, I know I'll make you laugh. Hey, I'm not going to do a sarcastic show today, but I am going to do a show on happiness. This is a very interesting assignment. It's something that I have studied, actually, and I've done reports on. When I worked in the news business as a field reporter, I often had assignments where I would have to go out and do some very interesting things, and some things weren't that interesting. Some were kind of dull and boring, and just some were stupid. I didn't have a choice in it. I've covered everything from people dying and coming back to life to stinking pumpkin patches at Halloween. I don't know. At that point, you know, when you're hired as a reporter, you have to report on what they want you to report on, which is why I'm so glad I am where I am today, where I don't have to report on anything anybody wants me to report on except what I personally feel led from my guy up above to report on. And this week I'm very much led to talk about happiness. It's kind of funny. Is it just me, or can you also sense when people are in a very foul disposition, whether it's social media or people at work or school or even in your own home? Sometimes it's almost like a spirit where everybody's just foul. Everybody's in a bad mood. I mean, is it the cold, the weather, the lack of sunlight in the winter? It can't necessarily be that, because one of the highest marks of depression hits in the middle of summer in July. An unfortunate fact I'm going to give you is that most people commit suicide and complete it in July. It's not around the holidays like you would think. So that really says something about, you know, what causes people to get into the state of such unhappiness. And, you know, that's a show on itself. I even wrote a book on that stuff. Those of you who know me, I have been affected by suicide in my family. And years and years ago, I did write a book called Will I Ever Feel Happy Again? It's still available. It's at most outlets, I believe Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And it is actually endorsed by some suicide societies, people who deal with those who survive suicide. So, in other words, if you're a family member who lost someone to suicide, that's what we mean by a suicide society. And this would be a self-help book as such. And, you know, if you are going through something like that, I always want to encourage you to read it. It's a very difficult position to be in, because it's not a normal death, and there's a lot of aftermath you have to clean up when you lose a loved one to suicide, and it's hard. God help you if you have to go through it ever. It's very difficult. But you know what? Eventually, you will be happy again. So I answer my own book, Will I Ever Feel Happy Again After Going Through Something Tragic? Yes. I don't care what your tragedy is. You will feel happy again, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on that. And I'm also going to elaborate on, are we supposed to really be seeking happiness? Is that what it's all about? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, several years ago, there was an article that came out in a ladies' magazine. I don't really remember which magazine at this point, because I read a lot of magazines and I write for some magazines as well. But anyway, it was called You're Born as Happy as You're Ever Going to Be. Very interesting. You're born as happy as you're ever going to be. You know, what they're stating is scientifically, they have, quote unquote, found that this happy gene that people have to a certain degree. Some people are just born naturally happy people. Some people are born depressed. You know, well, they're not born depressed, but they're born predisposed. Okay, hang on a minute. Let me just get a drink here. Okay, that's called an energy tea, ladies and gentlemen. That's my drink. predisposed to depression. And you know, depression does run in families. So that would scientifically, I believe, proven to be very sound. But anyway, in this particular article, here's how they support their claim. They followed two different people for the course of 3 years. One was a gentleman who was pretty much a very happy person. Everybody said, this is like the happiest guy, you know, no matter what. He's just always on the up and up. And he fell to tragedy. What happened was he was in an accident, and they had to amputate his leg, and he became crippled. He became, you know, an amputee. And he was obviously very upset about that. I mean, who wouldn't be? Losing a limb that would cause you to never be able to function the same, never be able to walk again. And so what they discovered was he went through a period of sadness and depression. But in 3 years' time, this gentleman ended up being just as happy as he was before the accident happened in about 3 years' time. Then they had another subject that they followed. It was a female who was diagnosed manic depressant, just was not treatable. I mean, it was to the point where it just wasn't even treatable. And she actually hit the lottery and became a millionaire. And so they followed her and studied her for 3 years. And what they discovered, obviously, is she was happy as heck when she hit the lottery. Who wouldn't be, right? And over the course of 3 years that came and went, she ended up being depressed again after 3 years. So what they've come to a conclusion of is you are who you are as far as happiness is and the way that you're brought into the world. And the only thing, now this is what's interesting. Now I know you're going to think I made this up, but I didn't. The only thing that will change your actual state of how happy you're going to be in the world within time is a spiritual understanding. For some reason, people who are spiritual, religious, pray, whatever you call it, seem to be able to overcome the disposition that they were exposed to and they were brought into this world to be part of. So I thought that was a very interesting fact. You know, I guess the bottom line with that, when you take all this scientific evidence into fact, is that happiness is not something that we should be seeking out, because the scientific definition of happiness is an elated state. And you cannot go around in this world being in a constant elated state without the help of maybe chemicals that can alter your mind. You know, I mean, it's impossible. And I think a lot of people make that mistake, is that they're not happy, so they want to turn to alcohol and or drugs or pleasure-seeking things to try to get their happiness back. And I think that's wrong from the get-go, because happiness is an elated state that you should not be in 24/7. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't have times of happiness. You know, everybody has times of happiness. Everybody has times of sadness. But think about what I'm saying. You need to be moving in the mind frame of seeking a state of bliss, peace, balance, not happiness. Balance. That's where it's at. To be able to be in the same sense of control, whether you hit the lottery or, God forbid, you lose a limb, is the state you want to strive for. You know, somebody gives you a birthday present and you're elated, good for you. But if you know anything and you've had any chance in your life to buy something material that you really wanted, you know that feeling cannot be bottled and contained. It goes away. Hey, I know that feeling. I tell you guys all the time, I am a designer purse freak. I love designer purses. You know, every time I get one, I'm elated, just elated. By the time I get home, though, I'm no longer elated. I'm like, oh, it's really cool. I love the purse. But, you know, I'm not like in this state of mind where I'm overjoyed anymore. Most materialistic things in life will be like that. I wrote a karate column one time years ago, and it talked about how, you know, you can't really bottle things that make you feel good when they're in a physical sense. You're probably asking, how the heck did that get published in a karate magazine? I don't know. I think it was just meant to be. Matter of fact, I'm on the cover insert of that magazine. That was back in the 90s, and I did kind of swing it into a martial arts theme. I think it was called like the Higher Principles of Martial Arts or something like that. And, of course, my mentor, a magazine editor, John Corcoran, longstanding in the industry, he published that for me, and he liked it. And I appreciate Corky, if you ever listen to my shows, and I don't know if you do, but, you know, I appreciate you over the course of the last 20 or 30 years when he took a chance on me, and I wrote so differently. If you read my stuff, you know I write very different. And he actually saw a need for that in the industry, and he took me under his wing, and he just let me have at it. Gave me my first column in a magazine called Inside Taekwondo. It was a CFW Enterprise magazine, which was really popular back in the 80s and 90s, has now gone under. They had Inside Kung Fu, Inside Karate, Secrets of the Masters, all these magazines, and I wrote for and was in most of them and was even on a cover shot of two or three of them back in the 90s. But, you know, nobody was writing like me. Everybody was writing about winning and techniques and kicking right and, you know, being the best fighter there is and all this stuff. And I kind of step in and I'm writing about losing, how I competed and lost and how I got up the next day and didn't hate myself and, you know, not being a natural in martial arts and all, but never quitting anyway, just stuff like that. And God bless you, Corky, man. You thought it was great. I appreciate him so much. And let me tell you something, that's a compliment, because John Corcoran can get really mean if he doesn't like something. And there's been a couple things I did he didn't like, but they've been far and few between. So thank you, John Corcoran. I really appreciate you helping me with to writing. 4 books later, over 20 years of writing for karate magazines, you know, you can't forget the people who help you, put in your path and took a chance on you. And he's definitely one of them. So that's a side note. But anyway, I did write a kind of a column about how you can't bottle things that make you happy. That was an article back in the 90s. And I'm sorry, I don't even remember which magazine. But if you want to messenger, if you want to PM me, I can look it up and find it out for you. I just don't remember at this point, because I've written so many, I mean, over 20 years, I've just written a lot. So anyway, listen, are you upset because you're not happy? Are you not happy? That doesn't even faze me. Nobody's happy in the sense of the scientific definition of being in an elated state. Nobody is. You can't be. But do you have peace? Do you have bliss? Do you have balance in your life? That's where we're going with that. Guys, you know that I always try to support my stuff spiritually because I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in trying to live your life in the spirit realm more than you do in the physical realm. It's a goal of mine. I set out to conquer many years ago to try to operate from a spiritual sense instead of a physical sense. I don't always accomplish that. Many times I fall short of it. You know, I'm probably not as good of a person as you think I am. But you know what? I'm going to admit to you, I do try. I do try to stay in a different realm. The spirit realm is very vast. It's a million times bigger than the physical realm. And everything operates by rules in the spirit realm, just like it does in the physical realm. But like I always say, those rules in the spiritual realm can be very inside out and upside down. They're not the same rules as what you think in the physical realm. And you've got to learn those rules. You need to learn the rules and the boundaries in the spirit realm. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. First thing you need is you need to pick up a manual that has all the rules about how to operate in the spirit realm. And you say, well, where do I get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. You get that by picking up that one dusty book that's been in your family the entire time you've been in this country. It's called the Bible. It has every spiritual guideline you need. You're like, you know what? It sounds like an old English Bible, and I can't get into it. Well, then go get something that's not old English. Today in this age, there's just so many different versions of Bibles out there. Some are actual translations, and some are revisions, and some are paraphrased. people are like, well, you know, which one's right, which one's wrong? I don't care. Get one. Dude, go crack one open. If you can understand it, then keep it. Work with it. You need a guide. You need something that's going to be able to put you and promote you in the right direction in the spirit realm. The do's and the don'ts, very inside out and upside down. And you want to be able to seek out the knowledge of people, holy people that you know are going to guide you right. For me, you know, I say this, and I don't care if people think I'm a Jesus freak. Maybe I am. I don't care. For me, Christ is the answer. I don't mix stuff. You know, I'm Native American. I don't mix Native American spirituality into my Christian belief. I don't. And some people still can't grasp that. But I don't. I'm for me, there's just Christ, period, end of story. And I go by the manual that's been given to me to understand how to operate in the spirit realm. So when you go to the manual about should you or should you not be seeking happiness, you're going to find the answer very viable and very readily available to you. If you go to the Gospels, what are the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four books which are the teachings of Christ, the only four books in the Bible that quotes Jesus Christ as such, the things that he says. Okay, and what he says was, first of all, when he's ascending up into heaven, keep in mind he had the sacrifice, the bloodshed sacrifice, and then he rose from the dead and he's ascending into heaven. He says, peace I leave unto you, peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives, I give to you. In other words, he's going to give you a supernatural peace. I'll sum that whole verse 2 in the Bible up with this. Jesus Christ said, I'll give you a supernatural peace if you just believe it. You need to strive for peace, because in this world you have hard times. That's what the manual says. In this world you will have tribulation. But don't get depressed because I've overcome the world. These are all the things that I'm telling you about in those very four books. So when he's saying he leaves you peace, he's setting the example that you don't need to strive for happiness, because he didn't say happiness I leave you. He said peace I leave you. Peace, there's nothing in the world like peace. You know how you know there's nothing in the world like peace? When you don't have it, when you don't have peace, that's when you know, man, you can't put a price on peace of mind. You just can't. So you go, really, is it that cut and dry that you just ask for peace? Yeah, man, it is. There's another verse in the Bible when you get into the epistles, the teachings of Paul, where he says that Jesus Christ will give you a peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? It means supernatural peace. I'll sum it up into two words. If you ask, you can actually have a supernatural peace given unto you. Have I ever done that? I have. I once, when I first got out of television, when I was studying and I was going into seminary, I actually had work doing PR. And I did a lot of PR work for karate schools and some other big karate companies. And then, you know, just like you, I got hit with that economic thing that went down in the 2000s, and everybody started dropping PR. So after that, I'm like, man, this is stressful. I can make money at it, but I don't really care. I don't really want to make money at it. I want to do something I know I'm supposed to do. But during that period when I made really good money at doing PR, something happened that was so stressful. I was actually in Hawaii trying to have a vacation with my family. I have family that actually live in Hawaii. And it was just ruining my vacation. So I literally looked at my watch, and then I said that prayer. I said, God, I know that you promise you'll give a peace that passes understanding. I'm just simply going to ask for you to give it to me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was done with that. And I said, I'm waiting, and I'm going to see what happens. You know, literally within probably 30 minutes' time, because keep in mind I'm timing this. Within about 30 minutes' time, it's just like I smoke pot, dude. I'm serious. I mean, that's not the best analogy when I'm talking about supernatural peace. But maybe you'll understand what I'm saying. It was such peace and bliss. It's like I really took a hit of something, and I didn't. I mean, it just went away. The stress went away. The anxiety ran away. I mean, I was having a great time, finally. Supernatural peace. Ask for it. Ask for it. Now, you do have to believe in Jesus Christ, because the peace comes through his blood sacrifice. So I want to encourage you to do that. I'm not trying to tell you what to believe, guys. But you should. I'm just telling you what works for me, you know? One of the most confusing things to me is someone goes says, yeah, I'm not trying to tell you what I believe, and then they bring in everything. Buddha, Hinduism, New Age, Christianity, Easter Bunny. Dude, would you just pick something, please? Just pick it and stick with it. You're causing more chaos. Chaos. Confusion. I have more respect for you if you told me you just worship the devil. At least I know where you're coming from. Okay? I don't know what this means when you believe in everything. Universalism. That stuff. It drives me nuts. Just pick something. All right. Well, listen. Actually, peace does lead to happiness. It's not that elated state, but it's good, man. You know, you don't sit around and constantly think about, am I happy? I don't think I am. And then you start making all these changes in your life. Happiness cannot be outside of yourself. In other words, if you're looking for somebody else to make you happy, dude, you're in trouble. You're looking for your spouse, your boyfriend, your wife, your girlfriend, your kids, you know, your preacher, your sage guru. You're looking for those people to make you happy. You're already in trouble because they're just people and they're going to fall short. People cannot make you happy, guys, and you already know stuff can't make you happy. You know, position, it makes you happy when you get that trophy you bought from the latest Karate Hall of Fame. But you know what? After that, you're not happy anymore. I'm going to get in trouble. Happiness has to be within you. It has to be within you. And that happiness within you is automatically peace. If you don't have peace, ladies and gentlemen, ask for it. Put it out there. I need a supernatural peace. I need my God to give it to me. My God is Jesus Christ. He promised it. It's in the Bible. Okay, you're going to hear a lot of universalists and New Agers and stuff say what I'm saying to you. You know where they got that stuff from? That book I told you to blow the dust off of. They're taking stuff out of there, and they're taking out Jesus Christ. That's all they're doing. The devil loves to do that. Did I just say New Age was devil-y? All right, no comment. You figure it out. Can I tell you about my books and about where I'm going and stuff? You know I got 4 books out. If you could please just Google me and go get them. God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for that. Thanks for reading my karate columns. I actually am going to be doing a tour here. I'm going to get really busy in like the next month. June 27th, I'm going to be teaching at Karate College at Radford University with my buddy Bill Superfood Wallace, some others. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, and I hope you can come on out. That's going to be Saturday, June the 27th, and I'm looking at a calendar right now to make sure. Okay, that actually might be the 30th. It's that weekend of the weekend of the 20-something. It's going to be that weekend. Looks like it's going to be Saturday, June the 30th, I'll be teaching. All right. After that, I'm going to the Korean Masters Hall of Fame. And, guys, I didn't buy this one. Promise you. That one's real. That one's an honor. It's been around years and years and years and years and years out of Atlanta. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to that. That's quite an honor to be in the Korean Masters Hall of Fame. It's going to be in Atlanta. Love to see you. What else? I've got Gary Lee Sport Karate Museum Women's Symposium coming up. I don't even know what a symposium is, but I'm going to be speaking at it. So I hope you'll be there if you're going to be in the Houston area. Come on by. It's very family affordable. Love Professor Gary Lee because he makes things affordable. They're at the Hilton in Houston. A nice event, seminars from all kind of teachers, but definitely going to be honoring women this time. Probably, we're talking probably the largest gathering of female martial artists ever going to be in Houston at the end of September. I believe that. Now, I think that's September the 27th, for real. So anyway, I'm also going to be doing some Native American work. I'm going to be going to Muskogee, Oklahoma, and you're always welcome to come, but you know, that's not an event where you might want to come to. But I put that out there when I do these Indian schools and reservations. I just want you guys to keep me in your prayers. I come up against a lot because a lot of the Native American people are very bitter with Europeans and European religious beliefs, a.k.a. Christianity. So when I try to help people as a spiritual counselor, which I am actually ordained and educated to do, it can be difficult, but maybe they'll look at me and go, okay, you know, we know you're Native, and I am Native. I'm also a lot of other stuff, and I got to tell you that. I'm not 100% Native. I don't know of any Cherokee who are, but actually I'm more other things than I am Native, but I feel very Native in my heart, and I know I look it. I got every Native genetic out there, so I know I'm Native whether I want to be or not on that one. Okay, well, listen, if there's anything that I can do for you spiritually counseling-wise, you can hit me up. I'll get to it eventually. I do look at my PMs and stuff like that. I appreciate you guys. Wherever you are on your spiritual walk, you know, it's a journey, and I'm not here to condemn or criticize anybody where they are on their spiritual journey, because I've been there. I've been there. Hey, I checked in all that stuff that I was kind of being sarcastic. I told you I was sarcastic. I was actually doing a lot of that stuff myself, a lot of that New Age stuff and everything. And, you know, I understand. I understand where you are, and everybody's journey's at different points. So just stay on that journey, okay? Do something every day to try to continue to grow and grow and grow spiritually. There's nothing more important than that. You can't really get to your life's purpose unless you're a spiritual person, because it's all about yourself. Your life purpose is about power and fame and fortune. When you're a spiritual person on a spiritual journey, your purpose takes on a whole new meaning, and it's about what the Creator designed you to be. I think I'm done with this assignment. I hope you got something out of it. Please tune in every Monday on blogtalkradio.com/AMAA. Thank you, GM Jesse Bowen. Appreciate your guidance and what you're doing in the martial arts industry and helping us with radio blogs. I'm actually very much a dinosaur in a lot of this stuff. My 16-year-old's like, jeez, Mom, unbelievable. I can't believe you don't know this stuff. That's all right. I'll just shove another 8-track tape in when I'm done with this show. All right. I'll see you guys next time on the Eden Assignment. Thank you, Maria Vitale from Liz Sotheby's, too, for your sponsorship in Denver. Call her if you have real estate needs, give her a buzz. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. This is Karen Eden from the Eden Assignment, and I would like to tell you about a very special sponsor for the show, who also happens to be my longtime friend, Maria Vitale of Liv Sotheby's, real estate agent at Maria at mariasdenverhomes.com. And I want you to know that she can take care of all of your real estate needs from, get this, anywhere on the entire planet. That's right. Nowhere's too far for her to reach out and help you with all of your real estate needs. Her phone number is 720-366-5121. Again, that's Maria Vitale, real estate agent at Liv Sotheby's downtown Cherry Creek in Denver. Her email is maria@mariasdenverhomes.com. She's able to help you, and I can vouch for her that she's a good person, and she will definitely take care of you. So thank you very much, Maria, for sponsoring the Eden Assignment. And we'll see you all next time for another show.
The American Martial Arts Alliance, along with the AMAA Masters Radio Network, is launching Proud to Be a Martial Artist. This will be the theme of our 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. Nominate someone for this great honor, someone that has made a contribution to the martial arts that has changed lives, that unsung hero that has done so much for the community, so much for lives. We want to know about that person. Visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination today. So many martial artists have lost the opportunity to share their story. Remember, visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination. For questions and support, call 919-489-6100.